One Nation.
One Nation Sports.
Welcome to One Nation Radio, hosted by Richard Ladd and James Boyd. If you'd like to become a part of the nation, email us at radio1nation@gmail.com. You can contact us using Twitter at One Nation Radio, at DangerRich32, or at JamesBoyd0NR. We are also on iTunes as well. You can go to onenationradio.podomatic.com and subscribe to the show with the iTunes button on the right-hand side. And after all that, go visit foreverwrestling.tumblr.com for instant streaming, much more. Now that you've heard how to reach us, let's get to the show.
One Nation Radio.
Welcome to One Nation Radio's end of the year wrestling awards. The biggest awards show in my apartment.
Okay. I was sitting there looking at you like, what absurd thing you're going to say? Like, the biggest award show ever. Like, move over VMAs, move over the Grammys, move over, you know.
All actually, of that stuff. Yeah. You know, this is the only awards that matter.
The best annual award show.
Yeah.
An internet podcast show about wrestling.
Yes.
About fake sports.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes!
All right, sure.
You know, this ain't the Slammy Awards where, you know, the votes are rigged or anything like that. This is the real.
Yeah, it's only decided. Yeah, only decided by two people.
Yeah, you know, the nonfiction. You know, we missed it on the last part. We added a new part in our drop. It's actually David Shoemaker, the writer for Grantland, saying One Nation Sports on there because we actually got mentioned on the Cheap Heat podcast, and I thought that was pretty cool. So we went ahead and chopped the vocals and, you know, put it on there.
Use them for promo.
Yeah.
In typical WWE fashion.
You know.
Vince McMahon would be very proud of us.
Yes. let's see. Let's just hop straight in because we got a lot to cover.
That's what she said. Continue on. Let's go.
Anyway, ignoring that, man. Make sure you guys check out those articles on whatculture.com. Getting a lot of... a bunch of views last month, and it was pretty cool. Got a lot of feedback. But hopping right in, that's also what she said.
Yep.
Ric Flair's Wrestler of the Year award. Last year, we started naming some of the awards, and you know, Ric Flair Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah, that one sticks still.
It fits. The nominees are CM Punk, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Alberto Del Rio, and Dolph Ziggler. We try to do six in each category. When it comes to this, there's a big four. So, Del Rio and Ziggler, they had great years.
Yeah.
Except Ziggler. Ziggler had a, you know, he was bizarrely used after SummerSlam.
He might be the most, misused person the entire year. He's weird. I don't know. He started off so strong, too.
Yeah. Del Rio held a belt for like 10 months and was in
literally 10 months
and was in every, you know, world heavyweight title match except the unification match of the year, which was, you know, pretty amazing if you think about it, regardless of, you know, how quote unquote boring people think Alberto Del Rio is. I don't understand that, but
I mean, I get it. But I don't understand the part about me personally. What happens as far as how you perform in the ring matters more than your promo skills. So I never understood the whole, like, or being able to carry a few. And I understand, like, the general audience to, you know, to dig in and actually care. I get that. But, I mean, he can wrestle. He can do pretty much anything. Especially his heel run. Like, his moveset was just ridiculous. So I was down for it.
Face run.
Yeah, I was down for that face run. I mean, he was a heel for so long, and he came back as a heel, you know, when he took advantage of Ziggler and the concussion thing, and he came back as, like, this vicious heel that keys in on opponents' weaknesses, and, like,
it made sense, too.
It made a bunch of sense, yeah. Like, they turned on him, you know, by letting a heel cash in, which, you know, that makes sense as a kayfabe crowd, allegedly. Thank you, Jersey.
Those, all those crowds that were, you know, hijacking segments, that's not a good crowd. Y'all are assholes. I'm just gonna say that. Like,
yeah, straight up.
Daniel Bryan, John Cena, and CM Punk, and also Randy Orton. Those are the big four. James, who's your wrestler of the year?
Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
I don't know how you feel about it, but it's been his year. It's been a year of the GOAT.
It's the first time, you know, I think CM Punk has had to take a back seat since we've, you know, kind of become, you know, rededicated our wrestling fandom. CM Punk took a back seat this year, and CM Punk arguably has a better resume on paper than what Daniel Bryan has done this year. You know, he went, you know, against Undertaker, he went against Lesnar, he went against Rock, he went against Cena, he went against
Curtis Axel.
Yes, Curtis Axel. You know, so that second half of the year is kind of where the wheels fell off for him. He went against Jericho. But we wanted Daniel Bryan so bad this year, like, and WWE played with our emotions, you know, all year with it. They put him in a tag team match at WrestleMania. They cashed in, you know, they did the cash in on him, you know, after he wins, you know, he beats Cena clean, and then they whoop his ass, like, every week.
Okay, my whole thing when it comes to this award is, I can easily hear somebody say CM Punk again, that's fine. My thing is, Daniel Bryan, for weeks at a time, was carrying Raw.
Yeah.
For having, you know, either wrestling, whether it meant, you know, wrestling a gauntlet match for 40 minutes, or having two segments, you know, or going out there and on SmackDown and doing this thing too. Like, he is like, maybe next year we have an award and we call it the Bret Hart Workhorse of the Year Award. Remember, Bret Hart used to talk about how he used to wrestle like 300, he's on the road with 300 dates, and how he used to beat his number of dates.
He'd be over
on his dates all the time. Daniel Bryan's like that guy. He shows up on Raw, he shows up on SmackDown, he carries both shows. Cena Punk goes away for 2 months, Cena goes away for a month or two, he's there.
Is it fair to say that he's obviously the TV, like, been the biggest guy on TV, but is it fair to say he kind of came up a little short on pay-per-view?
Given his opponents and situations, I could see, yeah, definitely compared to Punk.
I'm still going to say Daniel Bryan's a superstar of the year, wrestler of the year, whatever, because we saw those Hall of Famers gathered in the ring. We saw that, you know, segment, the Championship Ascension, and I don't care if it was in his hometown.
Like an hour away or something like that from his hometown.
Like, ain't that many people that, you know, look like Daniel Bryan in there, like.
But, I mean, if you...
He jacked the whole segment, like.
Since you alluded to it, go on to the next award.
Next is going to be the Shawn Michaels In-Ring Performer of the Year. For obvious reasons. Our nominees, once again, CM Punk. We have Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Chris Jericho, John Cena, and Seth Rollins. And before the IWC collectively groans about John Cena being on the list, they have to realize Cena has had so many good matches this year. He's been excellent.
Cena has, off the top of my head, he won the Royal Rumble. He had a match that, I mean, you can complain about. He had WrestleMania 29. He has the SummerSlam match with Daniel Bryan.
The Ryback matches,
both of them were good. Three Stages of Hell match, Payback, also the Last Man Standing match at Extreme Rules. He also comes out and he has the number one contender match with CM Punk.
Yes.
Which we'll get to that later. And I mean, all through the line, he even just
Ziggler, if you saw Smack, the Ziggler you watched matches.
The Ziggler matches, yeah, especially the one the first Raw of the year. He also threw out even just last week the match he had with Seth Rollins on SmackDown last week. That was on Christmas SmackDown. That was great.
Yep.
So. Say what you want to. Like,
he's great if you want.
Like, the only people I was going down the line doing this thing, like, great matches upon great matches, and the only person that had better resumes or matches than were Daniel Bryan and Punk. So,
yeah. Jericho,
in a short span,
had this been a 6-month award, Jericho may have won in a landslide, because he was showing up, you know, on pay-per-view and on TV you know, turning chicken shit into chicken salad out there. Like, the second match at against Fandango at Extreme Rules was pretty much what should have been their WrestleMania match.
But they didn't have, they got more than 10 minutes.
Yeah. You know, I rewatched the him versus Daniel Bryan match, which is about as good of a 10-minute Raw match as you can get.
The match he had versus Van Damme, the match against Punk at Payback, the match against Punk at Raw. He got a good match out of Ryback at Money in the Bank.
Yep.
He
was in the Money in the Bank match also. Oh. No, he wasn't. What was he in?
With Elimination Chamber?
Did you say Punk in the Payback already?
He was in Payback, yeah.
And he was in Elimination Chamber, and, you know, I'm a Jericho-holic, so...
He did enough in that span to deserve to be on
there. Yeah. Also, Seth Rollins, a guy that has come on late, and he's always been this good. It's just, I think they're giving him a platform to make sure he doesn't, you know, get lost in the shuffle when the Shield breaks up.
The best thing for me, anyway, in my opinion, going after SummerSlam was Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins in any type of capacity. Like, they got together and who knows what the hell is going to happen. Like, they could have melted down the arena.
Better seller, Rollins or Ziggler?
It's still Ziggler for me.
Right.
It's still Ziggler for me.
Like, I say Rollins is the better realistic seller, but Ziggler's, like, the better, like, over-the-top guy.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
As far as, you know, being the in-ring performer of the year, I'm going to have to give it to CM Punk because he had a different variety of opponents. He wasn't always able to wrestle Seth Rollins, and he was able to still have, you know, critically acclaimed matches and good matches with guys that you didn't know, you weren't sure. Like, you know, we weren't sure, you know, how healthy The Undertaker was going to be. And, you know, CM Punk kind of led him around, you know, in that match.
I will say this, though. The only Achilles heel CM Punk has to have, it seems to have when it comes to big matches, is a Hell in a Cell cage and Ryback inside of it. That seems to be his only Achilles heel. He's 0-2. But other than that, he's been spectacular in these big matches. Like, you know, we were doing this thing, and every time you were thinking about matches for pay-per-view of the year, like, it always came back to CM Punk, whether it was Undertaker or it was Lesnar. And
yeah. It's like, as much as the year was Daniel Bryan's, it was, you know, on the other side of the coin, like, CM Punk was, like, right there.
Yeah.
Right there, and then arguably, you know, he has a better resume. So, about your ring performer of the year?
Same, CM Punk. And the weird thing, I was listening to podcasts we did for this last year, and I had it in reverse. I had wrestler of the year was Punk, and in-ring performer was Bryan. Now I have it swapped.
Yeah. Crazy how that goes. We have, in the past, had a conversation about, you know, how often is the hottest guy in wrestling also the best, like, in-ring performer and the best draw? And the only time it's ever really happened is, like, Bret Hart in, like, 1994.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Cena's still around. He's still the big guy, but Punk and Daniel Bryan are damn close. So.
It made me think of a promo that they had, that Triple H had, when he's talking about Daniel Bryan, and, you know, after the whole SummerSlam thing, and he's saying, like, you know, the way they're cheering for you, same way they cheered for, like, Jericho or RVD.
Yeah.
And Edge. He's like, and Edge is like, all great guys. He said, but, you know, if.
He said, not the one.
If those guys were the guys back then we all be working for Ted Turner right now. And I mean, people hate hearing it, but it's true. To an extent, it's true. Yeah,
but, like, you know, you gotta
It's not about the inside of the wrestling when it comes to getting people to spend money to watch wrestling and the growth of it. Like, it just doesn't. And I see that in, like, I guess I always feel like I'm playing. Like, I may sound like I'm, like, some Vincent McMahon apologist, even though I've never met this man. Mm-hmm. But let's play devil's advocate here. Like, yes, would I want Daniel Bryan to be champion? Absolutely. I told you, Rich, like, I wasn't going to get suckered in at SummerSlam because I knew something was going to happen. I couldn't imagine him actually beating Cena clean. It happened. The fireworks went off, and I lost my mind for that 1 minute before Orton's music dropped. But
because it just looked like he got away. He stole the money and he was headed home.
But just for kids believe that stuff, like, yeah, there's going to be this soaking, this guy that weighs, I don't know, how tall is he?
He's 5'8", probably.
5'8", granted, he might be, he's probably the best wrestler in the world, pro wrestler in the world, that's fine, but, like, just because you're the best don't mean, in fake sports don't mean it's enough. I mean, it's sad, but it's true. And it's always been that way.
Moving on, the Chris Jericho Part-Time Wrestler of the Year.
The nominees are
Chris Jericho, obviously.
Yeah.
Goldust, who has, you know, who has rolled out of bed, you know, hopped off the couch, backflipping and doing her karanas.
Yeah.
You know, busting out new moves that I've never seen before.
Like, where was this when he was out here fighting with Razor Ramon? where was that? Where was that in the street fight with Roddy Piper?
Where was that when he had Razor Ramon's, you know, name tattooed on him? You know, where was that when he was trying to revive Ahmed Johnson mouth to mouth? You know? Where was it when he was fighting Brian Pillman?
Where was it during the whole Dusty Dust thing?
Oh my God.
When he was dressing up like his daddy. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. 5-time World Heavyweight Champion.
Terry Funk always whooped my ass.
You know what I'm talking about there right now?
Oh, man. The Rock, who we'll get to later.
Yeah.
As far as IWC.
Yeah, definitely.
Rob Van Dam, The Undertaker, and Brock. Oh, excuse me, Brock Lesnar. Was that a good Paul Heyman?
Yeah, it's serviceable, very serviceable. For me, in a stint, I'm gonna have to go with Jericho. All right. If I was to say second, I'd probably say Goldust. Because I don't understand this. Like, he might be the most improved wrestler of the year. if next year we would have to have the most improved wrestler, and Goldust would have won it if it was this year.
Oh, my gosh.
And next would be, like, the Bella Twins, probably.
Yeah. We would come a long way. Part-time wrestler of the year, I'm also going to go with Jericho. The match he has with Rob Van Dam is actually going to be in my next column. The best Raw matches of the year. Check it out. I dropped a lengthy section on that, just watching those two go at it. And it was fitting that Van Dam kind of beat Jericho that night because he ended up taking over the role Jericho had, being the veteran workhorse that was around that put the young guys over. But I just want to talk about how incredible Brock Lesnar was this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember when, you know, we first talked about wrestling, whatever, and we weren't, you know, huge back into it. And I was like, yeah, you know, Lesnar was real, and you thought that man was like a Goldberg ripoff.
Yeah,
but
straight up.
I was like, no, man. Like, he's he's way better than Goldberg ever was. Like,
the Cena match, like, I saw like I said, I think a year ago I was talking about this on that same podcast, and I was like, yeah, man. I watched, like, the angle Iron Man matches or whatever, and saw a couple things, like, okay, well, he clearly has talent, and then I saw that I saw the match with Cena at Extreme Rules, I was like, alright, I'm sold, whatever, he had that cat, as great as that match was, that's how bad the, that Triple H match at SummerSlam was, the first one.
Yeah, that was tough.
And ever since then, like, so, I mean,
that SummerSlam with CM Punk, like,
SummerSlam with CM Punk, the match with, the steel cage match at Extreme Rules was great.
And also the WrestleMania was great.
That was very good too. So
you just want some ass kicking, like, you wanted to make it to look real, like.
And then he brings in Heyman, and, you know, Heyman's a freaking genius. We'll get to that later. He's just a genius. Like,
I've changed my vote.
The year.
Lesnar? I'm voting for Lesnar.
Okay. okay. I mean, that's fine.
Lesnar's just like, I just wish he'd wrestle more. on to the next award, the Miss Elizabeth Woman of the Year.
What, you want me to take this one over?
Nah, I was like, the Miss Elizabeth Woman of the Year, you know, she's up there in heaven looking good still, you know?
No, you want me to say that? I said that last year. We'll leave that alone.
Oh, man. Damn you, Lex Luger.
god.
That was out of character. But
that's terrible.
AJ Lee was our first nominee.
Of course.
Followed by Brie Bella. Much improved in the ring. Caitlyn, who was the victim of a catfish scandal. Naomi, the more talented of the Funkadactyls. Natalya, who married Tyson Kidd, and some reason she couldn't arouse him, you know. It was on Total Divas. She was, she was trying to seduce that man, and he just kind of, maybe it's a case of they've been together so long that he's, just seen it all with her, but the average male, probably would have lost his mind in that situation. But the next nominee is Nikki Bella. So, out of those six, we have to make a choice.
Okay, for me, I'm going to say, I don't know, I'm going to say AJ. Again, second year in a row, she gets more airtime than all of them on, she's been a champion for what, going on since what, Payback?
Yes.
Since Payback, she's been a champion.
Yeah. She's actually about to break the record.
For most days, the longest reign?
Yeah.
There you have it.
The Bella Twins are much improved this year.
Definitely.
I just think, well, especially Brie. Natalya, she's kind of swaggerless. Puts on great matches.
Agreed.
Naomi is Naomi.
That's
not a bad thing when I say that.
Nah, she's like, bro, she might be like the most physically gifted wrestler that they have right now on the roster for women, but I mean... I don't know how they turn that into something. I don't know.
Because we don't know if she can talk or anything. Don't ever let her talk, so...
I mean, she seems like she has such a great personality from the show, so...
Like
I mean,
she's lovable. Like she's likable, like, on
a genuine
reality,
level.
Yeah, on a fixed reality show, like, where they have Eva Marie running around, trolling the internet. That should be in the IWC. Everybody hates Eva Marie. but I'm going to go AJ Lee as well. She's, reenacted the Big Daddy Cool Shawn Michaels thing with her and Tamina.
Heavy.
She's beloved on the internet for her promo skills, and yeah. I don't know if you
want to know why.
I don't know. Hold on. I don't know if you ever played with AJ Lee in WWE 14, but her moveset is absolutely ridiculous.
Most of the females
absolutely
doing
ridiculous.
That game, though.
Yes.
I will say this, though. You want to know why people love her promo skills so well?
That ass.
Oh no. Well, besides that.
Oh.
Because she's out here putting down women. You know how many people we love hearing people put down women? But that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
That's way beyond my pay grade. So, yeah, move on.
Look, if somebody was cutting a check, we'd talk about that. But
yeah.
I'm also going to vote for AJ Lee. And our last award in our individual awards would be the newcomer of the year. Now, this we have to... What comes with a disclaimer. James, why don't you go ahead.
All right. Last year, we did this. And at that point, the Shield that came out for Survivor Series and Big E Langston came out for the Slammies. And obviously, if you were to look at their impact, they were clearly out of even compared to the guys from last year that came out, like even Cesaro, they were clearly, the last 2 years, they've been the biggest newcomers. However, instead of us, having a type of qualifier saying you have to be, out for more than 3 months in the year for it, we just ran it, and it's kind of absurd that the Shield's not Rookie of the Year, and they, either one of these years when they've been the biggest thing that's happened, in a long time.
So
that's a newcomer. So we decided
to
roll them over and add that addendum that if you haven't been around for 3 months, you get rolled into next year's category.
The Shield, Big E Langston, the Wyatt family, Fun, Dong, Go.
No echo effect?
No echo effect. Maybe I'll put it in post-production. Xavier Woods and Bo Dallas.
Yeah. It was a weak year outside of, they hit home runs or they struck out.
Yeah.
Like, or actually, I didn't even say that. They just didn't bring that many people in. over this year compared to even last year, like how you mentioned with Cesaro coming in earlier. Like, bro, if you listen to our last podcast last year, we were in love with Cesaro.
Yeah.
And he's still, like, you know, he's one of those underutilized guys that can play. Like, WWE has never had as many guys that were that good at wrestling that just ain't got enough for you.
Maybe in the post post-merger, when they had those guys running around, they had Edge, Jericho.
That's fair. They had Christian's and he can't even get on TV.
Mysterio, Guerrero, all in the mid-card on SmackDown. Like,
yeah.
And Cena in Orton, by the way.
Yeah, and like Lesnar's coming up, Batista's coming up.
Good was SmackDown back then?
My God. I'm still trying to wrap my head around why that was such a big deal that Cena got drafted to Raw. But, I mean, back you think about it, like, you were just on that brand, and that's where you wrestled for years. And all of a sudden, that man comes over to, like, the A-Show, or what would become the A-Show because of him.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it on paper. I just have to... It probably means more than just me wrapping my head around it.
Newcomer to yours, obviously The Shield.
Yeah, The Shield.
I love Big E Lance. I've been a Lance and Mark since day one.
He's two. That's fine.
But he's clearly number two.
Ain't no shame in coming out two to them.
Like, that three-headed monster, you got Ambrose, who's going to be Brian Pillman meets Psychotic Edge, you know.
Psychotic Edge.
You got Seth Rollins, who could be, you know, CM Punk Jr., pretty much.
Yeah, bro, like, that man could come out here and wrestle any of these guys. Like, come out there, wrestle all these, like, quote-unquote, what would be the cruiserweight division in this day. Like, he fits in right among, like, the Kofis, the CM Punks, the Bryans, just the Zigglers, all of that.
Then we got, you know, Roman Reigns, who looks like he's about to explode.
Yeah.
I remember when The Shield was first around, everyone on the internet was saying, who is this third guy? Meanwhile, I was like, that's going to be the guy you're going to have to watch because, you know, he has the look. He's got, you know, enough ability, and the guys around him, he's going to learn real fast, you know, how to adjust and adapt. And, you know, I'm hearing rumors of this man winning the Royal Rumble. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but
I'll say this.
This will be a major part, of, like, where it looks like he's about to win, and then, you know, The Shield's like, you know what? Fuck you,
maybe,
buddy. Like,
maybe not this year, because even in 1 year, that's some Brock Lesnar type shit, but maybe next year is definitely a possibility if it keeps going the way it's going. Him and... I will say this, with the way when they unified the belts and they've made the Intercontinental belt matter more and the push they're giving Langston, like, maybe that's a match.
That's a collision. Maybe they're on a collision course.
Maybe that's a collision course at WrestleMania or so. Yeah. That'd be a huge match. But, I mean, I don't know if they split the Shield by then. Maybe they could. You know, they've been teasing this whole breakup thing for a month now. But it's definitely possible.
Yeah, they got to run it at one point. Like...
For something that matters, too.
Like Roman Reigns and Batista, Roman Reigns and Big E Langston, that could be like...
Cena, Batista.
That could be like, you know, that, or it could be like one of those, you know, generational, you know, defining rivalries of a generation. It's a little early to say, but it definitely could happen. And if it does, I'm going to pull this footage up and say I was a genius. But, no Xavier Woods or Bo Dallas.
I mean, they're on there, but they had no chance in hell of winning.
Fandango got off to a smoking hot start with Jericho, but then they had nothing for him.
Yeah.
They had him dancing against a Great Khali, which is never good. That's going to take us to our first break. We will be back with our match of the year section and pay-per-view of the year section. This is One Nation Radio.
One Nation! One Nation!
Hoes keep calling, I ain't picking up. Welcome back to One Nation Radio. We listen to that Soul Tape 3 while we giving out these imaginary awards. Best damn awards show going today.
If you say so, sir.
You know, diamonds are forever. And so is the One Nation Radio Awards.
That's the weakest shit Ric Flair's ever been. That's the poor Ric Flair. He is Ric Flair's line for that shit? Really? Really, dude? That's what you choose to do? This is what you produce?
You know, with the tools I was given, you know.
Wow. All right.
Moving on.
Thank you. Please move on.
Yeah. We're going to go ahead and take it in a different direction. Pay-per-view match of the year. Big category because...
There are so many good matches.
Yes.
That we had to actually break it up into television or pay per view.
Because it was like we kind of got in a point of contention, like with, you know, one of the matches, like we wanted to be like, all right, we need to give this its own category.
Because we were sitting there, like, before I even came up with Match of the Year, I had wrote up, like, something close to 20 matches that were caliber of, yeah, that those are all great matches. Now, what are we going to do with this? And we were like, nah, we can't do that. Because, you know, it's so varied, so break it up. So this is what we got. So go ahead and give them the nominees for Pay-Per-View of the Year.
Pay-per-view match of the year. We have SummerSlam, Daniel Bryan versus John Cena for the WWE Championship. We got CM Punk versus Lesnar, also from SummerSlam. CM Punk versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. CM Punk versus Chris Jericho at Payback. We promise this is just not the CM Punk segment. Cena versus Orton, the TLC unification match. And Triple H versus Brock Lesnar and the Steel's Cage brother.
At Extreme Rules.
Through each of those matches, there are no losers. I just want to say, I don't know, man. It's tough.
It's for me. It's only three choices. It's one of three choices. Either you can say Daniel Bryan versus Cena, mm-hmm. you can say Undertaker CM Punk, or you can say CM Punk versus Lesnar.
Yeah.
If you choose any of those three, that's fine. For me. I don't know. I watched all three of these matches just the other day. And I'm trying not to get caught up in the sentimentality of it. I guess I'm going to have to go with... for me, I'm going with Daniel Bryan Cena SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty sure most people are going to say Lesnar or the Undertaker match. But
I remember when we were watching SummerSlam, we were thinking, damn... John Cena and Daniel Bryan got some shit to follow. Like,
yes, they did. Yes, we did. Yes.
And
keep in mind, even before that on the card, you also had Christian versus Del Rio, which was a great match. That just, another one of those 20 there. Matches that you couldn't just.
But Del Rio ain't good. Yeah. Jericho versus Punk at Payback was amazing.
Yeah.
It was like, I think it was like 28 minutes or something they gave him. Like, it was ridiculously long. And it was CM Punk's, you know, comeback match from, you know, the Undertaker match, which was some, you know, it was deep in itself. Orton versus Cena, basically what the match meant, what they tried to implicate that it meant. And Triple H versus Lesnar, like in the Steel's Cage, was, you know, the spot where he pulled the sledgehammer out of the cage, and you forget, he's in charge of all this, so, you know, he had them put that up there, you know, just in case he needed
it. Well, you know what my favorite part of that match was.
Go ahead.
You know, we'll get to it later, but in IWC Awards, but, you know, the old Bret Hart thing, talking about that Undertaker match, the Hell in a Cell was a 4 out of 10 or whatever, and then, you know, next thing you know, all of a sudden, like, the next pay-per-view Triple H is in. All of a sudden, he puts Lesnar in the fucking sharpshooter. Well, I'm sorry. And the second, we were watching it, and as soon as it happened, I started yelling out, 4 out of 10, 4 out of 10, and Rich started looking like, yeah, got him. Like, you know, Bret Hart is Nas, and Triple H is Jay-Z. Like, so.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with CM Punk and Brock Lesnar. Myself,
that's probably going to be for the consensus match of the year for everyone.
It was just because
come out these year in list. Yeah,
they had the advantage of going on first and, you know, setting the bar. And I think Bryan versus Cena was literally, if one of them's a 10, the other one's a 9.8. And just seeing them unveil a new finisher, you know, out of nowhere that puts Cena down for the 1-2-3. Just how rare does Cena not kick out? You know. Without shenanigans.
Yeah.
But the Punk and Brock Lesnar, the physicality, it almost, like, felt like, you know, CM Punk actually, it was legit. Like, he had a shot at actually whooping that man's ass in real life, which would never happen.
Oh,
but
no.
They made us suspend disbelief long enough to get the story across.
The F5 on the chair, the, you know, CM Punk, he's hanging on to Heyman's tie to keep from getting F5'd, and Lesnar's yelling "Let go!" Like, it's just great moments.
Yeah, but Daniel Bryan versus Cena, I'm taking it back, man. I'm gonna be a coward and make a tie. Like, I can't choose.
I mean, you did that last year. I mocked you, and then I did it again.
Yeah,
I did it right after the very next round. So, yeah. But for me, it's Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
it's CM Punk. I mean, it's Cena.
You know, same with the match. Oh yeah, same with the match meant, and you know, all that. Next is the TV match of the year.
And this one was absolutely loaded.
Yes. This might have been the best TV wrestling, you know, year in recent memory. I can't remember 2011 having this many, like, good matches. I can't remember 2012
got better. Especially the first half of the year, too. Like, you had Jericho with four matches on his own on TV that could have been put on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had a match with Punk. You had a match with Daniel Bryan. You had a match with RVD. There's one other match I'm forgetting. Yeah, I'm blanking. Well, anyway, but he was phenomenal on his own route, just by himself. And then you have Daniel Bryan out here wrestling for 40 minutes and whatnot.
Yeah, fighting in gauntlet matches, you know, with every stable.
Yeah.
Every stable had a gauntlet match with that man. Like, go out there and save us, Daniel, you know.
Yeah.
But on to the nominees. We got Daniel Bryan versus the Real Americans in Ryback, where he had the classic
super match in the middle.
Yeah, with Cesaro.
Yes.
Which was, I rewatched that the other day. Like,
he
uppercutted that man so many times. Like, like, Cesaro looked so frustrated he wasn't able to put that man away. And then he pulls out that small package at the end. And it's just like
what?
Wow, that
what's
man
next?
Escaped. Like, how does he top that? Del Rio versus Big Show and the Last Man Standing, like, at,
that was the first great match of the year. The very first one. That's like the first week of the year, maybe, or the second.
Yep, the psychology of it, where, you know, he puts Big Show under the table so he can't, you know, get up, and, you know, Del Rio is so underrated.
And then that leads into the second match he has at Royal Rumble, Last Man Standing, and he ties his legs and he can't do nothing.
Yep. CM Punk versus John Cena, which is, it was so good, they put it on the 50 years of WWE DVD immediately.
Yeah.
Like, the outcome of the match, you know, it was never in question.
Yeah.
But those guys were so good that it made you think
anything could happen.
The unthinkable was going to happen. Like, hold on, we're about to get, you know, Punk versus Rock for the third time in a row. Like, is Punk going to win the belt back? Like, what? Like, I remember when I was watching that match, I thought, I was like, I don't know what Rock and Cena got planned for WrestleMania.
It better come correct, though.
But it ain't going to be better than what we just saw. Like, the powerbomb and, you know, the Hurricanrana.
The power driver,
yes. Like, you know, CM Punk was evoking his, you know, his inner Jerry Lawler, you know. What's the next match? I just lost the file.
Well, another one that's up there is when Ziggler cashes in.
I made my case to James earlier about this being the best cash-in we've ever seen. And with the whole they're getting rid of the World Heavyweight title, we're only going to see one cash in a year, so it has a chance to last.
Allegedly, we're only
Before, you know, they bring it back when they realize, oh, we need another belt.
Can't anybody watching this second show.
The drama they created, you know, and the crowd assisting them with that, it was as high and as low you could go in 3 minutes that I've ever seen.
Yeah, in ring-wise, they're one of the best, like, pairs that put together in this year.
Yeah.
Now, every time they were, like, both their pay-per-view matches were great. The cash-in speaks for itself. That match that you watched on main event,
they just
was great.
The booking just couldn't get out of its own way with those two guys. Like.
Yeah. And also, Ziggler's real concussion, that messes some things up. The next match was Rob Van Dam versus Jericho. Jericho's first match.
I think I dropped 500 words on that.
Van Dam's first match on Raw in like 6 years, I believe.
Yeah. It was in Brooklyn, and there was a point where... When when he went to the top rope and he did that front flip. I had never seen Van Damme do that before until that point. And then I thought he was going to, like, kill himself when he was doing it. Like, I didn't know what was going on. But it was real fitting because RVD transitioned to Jericho's role that he had. And Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton
Street
on June 24th, street fight.
And that was, like, the last of their face-versus-face feud where we're having where the wink, I like to call it the wink link feud.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you have them fighting the Shield and his team held over versus Orton and... You know, it keeps happening where, you know, the guy's taking, like, pins or whatever is Brian and, you know, they're fighting each other and, like, the fight's continuing and Brian, the matches are great and then it all of a sudden has to stop because Brian gets nerve damage or whatever in his arm and then next one is,
Orton is counted out,
so he wants to finish and he's like, street fight, run it. And they beat the living hell out of each other. That's a pay-per-view match. That, like, they gave away a great match.
Yep. It was better than all the other matches they had for the rest of the year. It was really just a test. Like, in theory, like, when you look back, it was like, oh, this is just we're testing this out to see how, you know, these guys' chemistry. And it was good that they went with it.
The only other match they had this year that even came close was the match right after TLC.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that came close to that match.
He ended up beating him with the kendo stick. With the kendo stick yes lock. Like, that was unbelievable. This is tough. I'm going to go
okay, with... Okay, LeBron.
Shit. as much as I got to eliminate the Gauntlet match, I got to eliminate Big Show and Del Rio, got to eliminate RVD and Jericho, got to eliminate the Cash-In. It's going to come down to Punk and Cena versus, you know, Bryan and Orton, which are literally, you know, the big four facing off. We're splitting them right down the middle.
That's tough, man.
I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton, even though I've always been to Punk versus Cena before Raw, just because of the sheer unpredictability of Orton losing clean at that time when Orton didn't lose to that. And they were like, oh, wow, they're really letting Daniel Bryan beat this man clean. And that was the beginning of Daniel Bryan being looked at as a top guy. And it was the end of Orton as a face, pretty much.
Yeah, like the whole Team Hell No thing, like that was all. Like, imagine a tag team match that was that big and mattered that much to the storyline all the year before and carried in through, and then all of a sudden it dissolves amicably or without like a feud or rivalry happening after that. And then he's like, nah, we got bigger plans for you, which is going to lead to you, you know, headlining or main eventing WrestleMania or SummerSlam, I'm sorry. So. I don't know. It's one of those two.
That was like an ECW match, bro. Like he did a T-bone suplex through the table and through the bottom of the table, so it didn't like break the right way.
Yeah. For me, is one of them. It's the Orton. It's the Gauntlet match, the street fight, or number one contender match. And I, on the right day, I'll change my mind between them three. I say I'll take the street fight too. All
right. And up next, we have the pay-per-view of the year. We had a lot of good pay-per-views. We had a lot of bad pay-per-views this year.
It was so... Like, if they had just... And the thing that makes this year so uneven is the fact of as many great pay-per-views were in the first half of the year, there was almost that many, if not more, bad pay-per-views in the second half. It was just... Ugh.
Like that... The huge amount of talent they had in the first half, they didn't have at their disposal of the second half. Like, there was no Sheamus, which, you know, gotta count for something. There was no Mark Henry at certain points.
You might have lost Cena for, what, a month or two?
Yep, you lost Cena.
2 months.
You lose your part-timers that come through. You lose Jericho. But then our
main events were bad matches.
It looked like WCW. like they're just overbooked. Way overbooked. Pay-per-view of the year, Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, Extreme Rules, SummerSlam, Money in the Bank, and Payback.
That's correct. No WrestleMania.
No WrestleMania. Which is like...
Almost blasphemous until you look at the cards and you're like, oh, gotcha.
I understand. Like, to me, this is a two-horse race. Between SummerSlam and, you know, what came out of nowhere was Payback.
Yeah. They had a great Divas match on Payback, man.
Yeah. Like, I guess they knew they were going to Chicago and they couldn't, you know, slack off because that crowd will turn on you, basically. You had CM Punk coming off his hiatus, you know, against Chris Jericho in Chicago.
Yeah. You have the Cena Ryback match. You have that Divas match. There's one other match from the beginning. They had a great, The Shield had a great match in that pay-per-view too. So, it was stacked. Me, I'm gonna go with SummerSlam. Because they had three great matches, and they were all the matches that were supposed to be great. Like, the matches for the two belts were great, and also the Cena, you know, the second main event.
Right.
They just put it over the top.
I'm gonna also take SummerSlam just because of how essential it was to the second half of the year. It set the groundwork. They didn't execute it properly, but you couldn't set the groundwork any better than that. CM Punk versus Lesnar, which is, you know, my match of the year pick, comes from that pay per view.
Of the three best matches of the entire year overall for SummerSlam.
Yes, like. That really, we shouldn't have to say anything more than that.
Two of the three best matches this year were in SummerSlam.
There was a disappointing match on there. It was the debut of Bray Wyatt.
God, that was an opener, too. And let's let you know how good that pay-per-view was. You just forgot that. And it was a seven-minute inferno match.
Yeah, where no one got burned. They just laid the fire down and just drug Kane. Also, Rhodes and Sandow fought on SummerSlam.
That's right.
But, yeah, SummerSlam is my vote for pay-per-view of the year. We will be right back with our final segment, which includes the promo cutter of the year, troll of the year, feud of the year, click of the year, and our favorite, the IWC award. This is One Nation Radio.
One Nation!
One Nation Sports. They just killed this vibe. They just
killed this vibe. And welcome back to the final segment of the One Nation Radio Wrestling Awards. The best goddamn wrestling awards show you'll ever hear. Until next year.
Can we get better at this?
Hopefully. If not, we should kill ourselves. Twice.
Wow.
But, we played two songs from the, three songs, excuse me, from the new Fab mixtape. Check that out if you haven't.
Now, he's one of the few people that, like, oh, they dropped a mixtape, I'll go listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, like, nah, bro. Like, there's too much stuff going on for me to go sit down with you for a mixtape, for some free music. Yeah. You know, I go, if you ain't trying to sell it, it must not be that damn good.
Oh, man. Our next, what's this thing
segment?
Called? Category.
Our next category, okay.
Our next category is the Promo Cutter of the Year Award, which makes it his return from last year. We have The Rock. We have Paul Heyman, CM Punk, Triple H, John Cena, and AJ Lee. Finally something without Daniel Bryan in it.
I didn't realize, well, he won in the Woman of the Year award.
Yes,
but
he wasn't.
You know, he can't do it all.
Yeah, you know, that slacker. We have The Rock on there who, you know, came back and electrified. You had, like, the whole thing when we were there in person with Rock versus CM Punk in person was
amazing.
Yeah, once in a lifetime. Like, they just don't roll that out every week. Like,
yeah, and then CM Punk drops the, you know, the box with God.
Yeah, he had a lot of, like, God talk. Like, he cut that promo.
The I Am God.
Yeah, I Am God one a couple weeks later, like a month later, before he fought Cena.
And then they had that shirt.
Yeah, knees to faces.
No, not the knees to face shirt. Like the shirt that almost like it almost like deified him. Like the one that almost like almost.
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, you were at WrestleMania.
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. Just trolling off that.
You had Paul. I loved you, Heyman.
You have his work in so many different situations. Like he was to me, he was the the best year, like all year, the best heel talker. You have that part, the one that sticks out to mind, as you mentioned, the, when he beats the living hell out of CM Punk.
I loved you.
With the kendo stick.
I fathered you.
Yeah. You have, of course, the will you be a Paul Heyman guy proposal to Ryback, which is
that, absurd.
That's just, that's why he's also on you know, Troll of the Year.
Yeah.
You have the talk when you have the talk when he's
talking to Jericho.
He's talking to Jericho. He had to carry that while he was gone, while Punk was gone for those, for that month. You also have when he's talking to Triple H, set up the Brock Lesnar contract signing for WrestleMania 29 also, mm-hmm. which is great. So
Triple H moving on. Or did I say CM Punk already?
Yeah, CM Punk.
CM Punk, who's CM Punk at this point.
Cena.
Yeah. No, I want to talk about Triple H.
Okay.
Triple H cuts very good promos. Some of them are a little longer than, you know, we would like. But the funny thing about his promos are, you know, you almost wonder what he's talking about at some point, but you know exactly what he's talking about. Like, those long promos he would cut after Orton won the belt, it feels like he's dropping insider information, but he's really not, but he is. It's like, it's good, but you can't quite, you know, put your hands on it at this point.
The one that sticks out to me with Triple H was the one when he comes back and says the ass kicker's back, and he offers that open proposal to Brock Lesnar to fight him at WrestleMania because, you know, he's like, you know, all I needed was a reason.
I've been training
ever since I got this cast off. All I needed was a reason, and I'm sitting there with Vincent, you know, just hip replacement surgery, and my wife's crying, and the grandkids are crying, and I'm sitting there, and I have a smile on the inside because I know I got my reason.
Yeah.
I love that one. So,
John Cena.
Cena's the best one for me. Was the most recent one. Randy Orton when he ethered them going into TLC.
Yeah,
like that got me to actually care about that match more than just it's like, I was like, oh, this is another match. Like, I don't know why Brian's not in this. Maybe they're trying to stretch this out. And I was like, all of a sudden he's like, you've had issues in the ring. You have issues outside the ring. I was like, oh, hold on, wait a minute.
Like your ears perked up.
Yeah, you now have my attention.
Yeah.
So.
And the one he did with Daniel Bryan where he basically said, you know, I don't care if you've been wrestling, you know, in a high school gym, whatever, that doesn't make you any better than me, like all this other shit. Like, the last one, back to the Rockin' Cena, you know, that promo they had on Old School Raw, it was like, you ain't getting redemption, Jack, you're getting your ass kicked. Like, like that was probably one of my favorite moments of the year, like when Rock said that. Cena, like, he's been great. Great. Like, elite. Yeah. Like,
The Rock.
Eventually we're going to have to stop, you know, hating John Cena. But, you know, we can hate him for the sport of it, but, you know, you really, you know, if you're out here really just on this Cena sucks shit.
I still like to root against him and all that kind of stuff. And
same
like,
here.
Obviously, because, you know, I feel like there are the guys that, you know, I feel like as opposed to he should be the number one guy in the top of the totem pole, he should bounce around with these other guys that are also really on his level,
mm-hmm.
and actually show that there's, you know, there's more than just one guy in the hierarchy of things. But I mean, you can hate it if you want to, but waste your time.
Yeah, and AJ Lee, who has taken a mat, they've
she had two of the best vicious promos on anybody, and you know. Just
they've let her go. Like they took like the train wheels off.
Yeah, I mean, I remember last year I was like, all these storylines she's involved in with all these top guys, and she, meanwhile, like, she's not the champion. She, you know, she comes a champion this year, and then she, you know, she completely like devastates the then champion Caitlyn,
mm-hmm.
who used to be her friend.
You're trash.
Yeah, called her trash. Like, also, you know, we'll get to this later. But the whole catfish situation that they pulled on her.
Yes.
That was great.
And then she
took off all of the Total Divas
at once
and said they're all replaceable women. They just weren't pretty enough to be actresses and all that stuff, man. It's just cutting deep, bro. Cutting deep.
Like, cause you like, man, like I imagine them walking backstage and them going up to her like, you don't really feel like that, do you?
Yeah.
And then her walking off like, Maybe, I don't know.
Whatever. There's nothing better than when you cut a promo on somebody and like you got a somebody's got a promo and they're alluding to something that could be taken as just real, like it's an actual shoot.
Yep.
Ain't nothing be like, oh, you hear that ooh in the crowd, that ooh.
Like, we got you.
Oh, one thing for I forgot to mention with The Rock. When The Rock did the song, the Eric Clapton song on Vicky, that was outstanding. Yeah, bitch, you look terrible tonight.
Oh, man. And then he also, you know, he was doing the We Will Rock You. Or was that last year?
That was last year. Yeah, that was last year. But Rock will come out here and give us a show with a guitar at some point. So, at some point, can't wait to see him come out there and do another Rock show.
Yeah. I'm going with Paul Heyman just because of the versatility of any situation, whether he can make you laugh with his absurdity or he can, go dead serious.
Like, even when he's being a kiss-ass Mr. McMahon about, like, please, don't do, please do not treat CM Punk like this, please. You're nothing but a promoter.
Promoter, yes.
He's great. And then, remember when Vince McMahon and Paul Heyman was out there fighting?
Yes. Like, just seeing Paul Heyman fighting, like, that's just funny to me. I don't know why. When he talked about how he was going to make Curtis Axel, I halfway believed him.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Look, he's that persuasive of a talker.
You know what I thought? I thought he needs somebody to keep him on TV. Like, Axel's a decent worker, or he's a good enough worker.
They should put him in a singlet.
That's fine. Wow. That's fine. just let Axel do, just let Heyman do all your talking. Just don't say a word. Don't even talk.
Don't even look at the mic.
Like, they should have played that with him. Like every time they got a mic, he's about to say a word. Like, almost like with Ron Simmons, before he even gets a chance to say damn, like, he just pause, build up, and then Heyman takes the mic out of that man. Hey, you don't say anything. You don't talk. I do the talking.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Paul Heyman.
I am too. Heyman was great.
Yeah, but in a close second, I'm going to go with The Rock. Because, it's a tie with him and Punk for a second, because that Punk versus Rock promo was like...
And the thing about with the whole Punk thing was Punk was getting ready at TLC for Rock. He was cutting promos
on him.
Oh, like, he cut 3 killer promos in the span of 8 days, like, around TLC. Like, the 2 Raw surrounding, before and after, Impossible at TLC, getting ready for Rock.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was 2012, that was 13, but he did some great stuff.
Moving on, some of you may have wondered why we didn't mention Mark Henry in the last category. But here he will get his due, the Bobby Heenan Troll of the Year Award, which was changed...
Yeah.
From the Jerry Lawler Troll of the Year.
Yeah.
Award.
I mean, we were talking and we were saying, well, you could also say Jesse Ventura, but Jesse Ventura was also spouting off super duper extra ridiculous racist stuff. So I was
Chico!
Like, I mean, I can't really co-sign that, you know. But I went with Heenan because Heenan, you know, he's the kind of guy, you know, WrestleMania 9 is Yokozuna versus Bret Hart. The crowd is yelling USA, rooting for Bret Hart. And he says, you hear these idiots? They're yelling USA when Bret Hart's, he's a Canadian.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. You know, he just sticks out.
92 Royal Rumble when he's, like, going from, you know, being a lunatic at one point to absolutely, like, worshipping Flair to...
Every single match in 92 that Bret Hart worked after he took the belt off Flair, he's talking about how much Flair is better than Bret Hart while Bret Hart beat him for the belt and he's carrying it around.
Yeah, it's trolling.
You watch Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart at Survivor Series and you just hear, he's like, who's the best scientific wrestler in the world? That's easy. It's Flair! So I decided to give it to him instead of the change it from...
Jerry
from
Lawler
to Heenan. So.
Seeing Heenan on the 50 Years DVD. Lord. So, I've always loved Bobby Heenan.
It made me forget. I had forgot about it. I was like, oh, we should have. Why didn't we do that last year? You know, sometimes I just blank out on stuff.
We got Triple H / The Authority, like with Stephanie McMahon.
Attitude.
Like, they've. Like, you want to talk about some real trolling. Like, they are the enemy of the IWC, and they know it.
and they're doing it on purpose. Like, they, you know, they get together and they, like, they do little pecks on the cheeks, and like, Stephanie's like, oh, you're jealous, you're jealous. Like, it's funny. Yeah. They go out there and, you know, they berate people. Yeah. And they're like,
they bury people.
Like, their heels the faces and their faces the heels at the same time. Like, all, like, when it comes to booking matches and whatnot, it's just,
you know, no one's better at getting themselves over. Maybe it's up Hogan. Paul Heyman and Paul Heyman for Troll of the Year.
For multiple things. The faces he makes while managing other guys between during matches, when they cut to his face and he they say a picture worth 1,000 words, but his faces are worth like 10 million. Yeah. Like, just everything.
When he dressed up as Paul Bearer.
Yes, with the urn. That's
ooh, yes.
Yes. my favorite thing, I was watching the WrestleMania match, Punk and Undertaker, and there's a point where I think he has him in some type of shit in the face lock or whatever, and all of a sudden you see him teasing Undertaker with the urn outside the ring, like, so just holding it out, like, yeah, and he's making a face like and I mean, obviously, I would, anybody that watches that match, it's like in the first 5 minutes, it's just hilarious. He just has him, and there you go. What's next on there? I believe Mark Henry.
Mark Henry, who cut a promo so good that he should have gotten an Emmy Award for it. I seriously thought Mark Henry was retiring.
Yeah.
I had sent text messages out.
Duped.
Hoodwinked. Bamboozled. Led astray. Run amok. Any other Malcolm X line you want to quote in there.
Like, you really thought he was done when he came out there with that terrible jacket. That terrible pink jacket.
Yeah.
Looking like a gigantic eraser.
He was hugging people backstage, like, on the way out to the ring. Like, it was an immaculate setup. They gave him in the belt. He was like, baby, I'm coming home. Like,
yeah, to his daughter.
To his daughter. Yeah. Like, daddy's coming home. Like, he next cried.
Yeah.
Like, he really dropped in out there.
Yeah. The world's strongest head slap and slam.
Like, I was like, oh my god! I was like, that's the best thing I've ever seen. Like, we had Zeb Coulter on there.
Do we even need to explain that?
No. and then we had B.E. Langston for his role in all the catfishing that went on with Caitlin.
Yeah, the catfishing with Caitlin, which is probably, for me, the second best troll segment of the year behind the Mark Henry. I will say, oh yeah, we also forgot the Fandango, the whole build-up leading to WrestleMania.
You come out there, you know, I'm not wrestling, you know, y'all ain't pronouncing my name right.
Yeah.
So I'm out of here.
You know.
I'm going to go with Mark Henry because it's, like, it unbelievable.
Yeah, like, that one particular, that's the most singular, like, shocking thing, like, wait, what? You did. And, like, he slapped everyone's head.
And he was on Twitter, like, the weekend before, like, saying, yeah, you know, I don't know if I got it, but he had plenty left in the tank.
Yeah,
like, you know?
Yeah, I'll go with him for that one. Like, surprise wise, the only other surprise that I thought was bigger this year was when Jericho showed up out of nowhere at Royal Rumble as number two entry. That's the only thing else.
Break the walls down.
So Mark Henry, congrats, dude! You slapped everyone's head. You slapped everyone's head.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's nuts. Like,
but shout out to Langston for being involved in that catfish thing, because that was excellent. I still enjoy watching that. I'll sometimes go back and watch it.
You see the meme, like, where he's holding her, and then on the bottom one, he's like this, like,
and he drops her.
I'm like, oh no!
At first, I thought it was for real, and they were gonna be like adding some type of love triangle or whatever, and they're like, nah, I'm just gonna drop you.
Yep. And the AJ's music comes on. Damn. Up next, we have the Feud of the Year award. We have CM Punk versus Paul Heyman, which was due to happen. It was the only way they could turn CM Punk back.
Which is, you know, in one of our previous podcasts, when it happened, there's the best way to turn. That's how they gonna turn back face. And sure enough,
you know, they listen to us,
right?
You know,
make Daniel Bryan champion at WrestleMania.
Yeah, god damn it. what else we got? Daniel Bryan versus the Authority, which dominated the second half of the year.
Yeah.
The second half of the year, meaning SummerSlam, by the way, everyone. Rose Family versus the Authority. The Rock versus CM Punk. Alberto Del Rio versus the Big Show, and Triple H versus Brock Lesnar.
I mean, for me, I don't know. It's only one or two things, but I'm Daniel Bryan versus the Authority. just carried over. They whooped that man's ass every single night. That man came out there and having gauntlet matches with the Shield. He's fighting Orton on multiple pay-per-views. He had to carry the show without with. I mean, it's really only two choices. Either you're going with the Punk versus the Heyman guys, or you're going with this one. So.
Yeah. I'll just take Bryan versus the Authority because of the amount of good matches that came from it. The ass whoopings, the promos. Also, Rock versus CM Punk was electric. I think where they fell short was in the matches because.
You mean the damn tables either not breaking right or breaking too early in both those matches that would have otherwise been considered perfect?
Yep. Rock versus Punk, like, if it's everything you wanted promo wise. The internet was very upset at the result. I got into it with a guy on Twitter about it. When did the People's Elbow become, like, a move you couldn't win with? If I recall, he whooped Hulk Hogan's ass with the People's Elbow at WrestleMania.
I don't understand. I didn't even know how that was even a complaint, considering, like, I don't know, most of the best matches ever are, like, you decided without finishers. Like, there's stuff like roll-ups and sunset flips and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't really care how that happens.
Yeah.
Like, what he spoke, like if he rock bottom, would it make people fine?
Oh, that's what happened at Elimination Chamber.
No, but another thing, like, you know, and there's also, you know, guys that have 5 million different finishers, like The Undertaker. So if Undertaker, with the, you know, let's say Undertaker used Hell's Gates or Last Ride or the Chokeslam or Tombstone, does it matter?
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
And they missed the fact that Punk actually pinned Rock.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he couldn't hold the belt forever. I'll go with Bryan versus The Authority.
Okay.
Up next, we got the Click of the Year, which makes a return. We have Team Hell No, who we cannot forget about, which is this generation's Rock and Sock Connection.
Greater than Jericho Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Wyatt Family. We have Cold Dust, as we've named them.
Yes.
If you don't know who that is by now, you know, get to know. The Shield and The Authority and Ziggler, Langston, and AJ, their trio.
As AJ called them, Ziggy and Biggie, right?
Yeah, Ziggy and Biggie. You know, unbelievable.
That's terrible. I don't know, you go on this one.
It's got to be The Shield.
Yeah.
They're more cohesive. They whoop people's ass. They have three stars that are, like, that are destined to, like, to break out. Within the Wyatt family, there's only one real guy that I feel like I really give a damn about, and that's Luke Harper.
Yeah.
Goldust, like, I love the story that how they got Goldust back on TV. Goldust has been, you know, a godsend for Cody Rhodes because they got Rhodes hot, and then they also had something to do with him with Goldust, and it's going to lead to, you know, hopefully a match, you know, where Cody goes back heel.
One thing I will say is I don't know if, I mean, obviously, you know, they look at these guys and see what they can do in the ring, but I would like to know how they go into deciding, okay, this former guy can come back and wrestle for us on a tour of X amount of time or whatever. I would love to know, like
did he have to go to the performance center and work out or something like that?
When it comes to Jericho, like, okay, they get it. And then RVD, oh, we have Money in the Bank and it's in Philly. Can you come back for this? And then we'll figure something out for you for X amount of months. Goldust is like, it just came out on a whim.
Yeah.
The Authority dropped. They had Cody Rhodes badmouth him. Cody, and then all, you're fired. Fight for your brother's job. Come back. You fight the Shield. You get title shot. You get the titles. You coming out here, and now Goldust is back flipping and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what? I would love to know how they come to that decision of, yeah, we're going to bring you back. We're going to bring you back for this long. Or it comes to, oh, you're performing so well that we're going to bring your ass back. We're going to extend your stay or whatever.
I think it's more like that. The Wyatt family has too many inconsistencies for me to consider them click of the year. Team Hell No.
They weren't. I want to put it like this: with the Wyatts, I don't think they were on. I don't think I put them on this list a month ago.
Yeah, which would have outraged the IWC. Which we'll get to later.
Kiss my ass.
We will. Yeah, we will get to that in the next section. If you are a listener of the show, you
already know what it is.
You know how we feel about the Wyatt family. The Shield, Head and Shoulders, like
over everyone.
They can't compete with the Shield.
Nope. Not at all.
The Authority was great, but anybody's cheering for that.
And they ain't wrestling.
Yeah. You know, when's Stephanie going to take a back body drop? You know?
I mean, I'm pretty sure the former Divas champ can take... That was the one thing that I thought was funny about the Slammies. Like, everybody was, like, gasping and clutching their pearls.
Yeah.
And, like, meanwhile...
Because they hit a girl.
Because they hit a girl. Meanwhile, they knocked over a girl. Meanwhile, she's a former Divas champ. She can take that bump and get up fine.
Yeah. next. There's somebody listening to it somewhere that's like, what the fuck?
Google it. She was a former Divas champ.
Yeah.
Or women's champ before they moved it to Divas and put that, a butterfly on the belt.
Yeah. So check it out, some of our younger listeners, if y'all out there. And our final award, which, you know, we love to affectionately, you know, we are a part of the IWC. Let's just get that out
there. Reluctantly.
Because, like, technically we are.
Yeah, obviously.
But there is a segment within the IWC that we like to consider lunatics, you know?
Yes.
No different than, like, in a particular race where,
backstage,
you know,
bookers, which we also are, but yeah, unreasonable backseat bookers.
Yeah. Like, within, like, certain races, but, like, you know, there's this kind of people, and then those are those weirdos that are, you know, over there that do these type of things.
And by that, we mean, like, the people that are wrestling fans that make me also queasy about telling people that I also watch wrestling, and then I have to give this, you know, like, a 1 minute, like, disclaimer telling people, yeah, I understand how ridiculous it is for a grown-ass man to watch wrestling. Because there are nutsos as that we like to clown that are in this community.
Yep.
So, continue.
The burial of Daniel Bryan. The Wyatt family. I'm here to show the world memes. 4 out of 10... Loving and hating The Rock and Fandangoing. There are three things that stand out on here, I think, more than anything else that have been more controversial.
Okay.
Fandangoing, 4 out of 10. I'm here to show the world were more, you know, they were funny meme type things.
Mm-hmm.
Which will live, 4 out of 10 is going to live, you know, a lot longer life.
Ever.
Yeah.
Not ever.
Fandango or I'm here to show the world. So 4 out of 10 is going to get its own due, but that's not going to be here. Let's go through these. We got Brian's burial.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Wyatt family and loving and hating The Rock. Let's start with the burial of Daniel Bryan. SummerSlam.
Whether it's real or not, you mean?
Yes, whether it exists. Now, had you asked me if it exists a week ago, I would have said no.
Okay.
But with this turn shit, like, if this is the way that it's going, I don't know, man.
It's just something to keep him away from the belt for the time being. It's the same thing that happened with Kane and also, who else did he fight? Kane, for example, keeping Cena away from the belt leading up to WrestleMania 28. Like, you got to get you away for the time being, you know, because... We can't have you, like, you're number one guy, you're clearly number one guy, why are you not wrestling for the belt? Like, we have to fill your time and keep you on TV and keep you relevant.
We're going to join you. I don't understand why he has to join them, but...
I think the thing is, there's so much time between now and the 26th of Royal Rumble that they needed something to do.
We'll see, but, I'm not going to focus on this part.
We're
going to focus on the SummerSlam cash-in part, how everyone was so mad... That Orton buried Daniel Bryan. Orton and Triple H buried Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
What the hell kind of burying is, you know, getting the main event in the next 3 or 4 pay-per-views, you know? You know, what kind of burying, you know, lets you have the most time on TV, you know, for the next 4 months? Like...
Is he a one-time champion or a two-time champion?
Two.
The two-time champion.
Yep.
In the span of... A month.
Yeah.
So, buried.
Buried. You know, not, you know... You know, what kind of burying is pinning John Cena clean 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring?
Yeah, who are, like, the last 5 guys to say that? Like, it's what? It is... Bryan. It is...
Rock.
Punk. It is Rock.
Batista, probably.
Yeah, on the cash-in.
No, Batista beat that man clean at a SummerSlam. Just 1-2-3.
Well, how many years ago was that?
I think it was like 2008.
Well, I mean, even since then, like, he cashed in on him at during the 2010 year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, after Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
So, like, there you go. You got to get, you get cash ins and that kind of stuff.
You get fluke stuff. You know, you get Sheamus beating him in a tables match, that kind of stuff. So he doesn't have to take a pin. Like,
you get John Laurinaitis enlisting the Big Show to help drag that man out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know?
The Wyatt family. There are people that are acting like the Wyatts are the greatest group to ever enter professional wrestling. They're better than the Four Horsemen. They're better than the NWO. Better than Evolution.
I'll say this. Since they've gotten Daniel Bryan, I've had no problems with them. But, however, just because you get the number one guy in the sport...
Like, you better be able to do something.
Like, you better do something. And the jury's still out, but as of right now, for what I've seen and the whole thing with, like... The SummerSlam and Kane, that whole thing left such a bad taste on my mouth. And they're abducting people and letting them and turning them loose and nothing happens. Like... Nah, bro.
Like, they should be turning people into zombies, like The Walking Dead or something. Like,
like they should turn those. Like, if we abduct you the next night on TV, you come in as a follower.
Yeah.
That's how it should happen.
Yeah.
But that's not how it happens.
Like, they should have had Miz out there, you know, dressed scruffy. They should have had Kofi Kingston. They should have had Ziggler. Like,
R-Truth.
They should have had all those guys. They should have had all those guys, like, you know, walking with their heads down, just kind of, you know, mumbling away, following behind this guy. Like, there's so much they can do with them, but...
The jury's still out, but, like, because this is the cutoff date, I think it's the wise, because the internet loves them, and I'm not seeing that shit. And from what I've seen so far, I just...
Oh, we still got one to get to. But thank God for Luke Harper.
You're right.
Thank God for Luke Harper. This is going to be my winner. Loving and hating The Rock.
Okay.
Because I, myself, was guilty of this at one point.
Yes, you were, very much so. And I was like, "You okay?"
But just because the return from WrestleMania 28 and the return from WrestleMania 29, I felt like Rock declined. Like, as, you know, he was still great on the mic, but... We knew where everything was leading, and it kind of took some of the air out of the balloon.
Like, as far as, like, not knowing anything?
Yeah.
I got you.
And he almost walked in with the attitude like it was going to be easy. Like, if you know, I'm just, you know, clearly going to roll out of bed and just still be the most talented guy, when he's not anymore.
I don't know. Like, I never held Rock to such a high end ring standard compared to, like, my favorite wrestlers. So I never took it as that. But I guess other people, you know, what I mean, now, because, you know, guys are better now in ring.
Yeah.
Guys are expecting him to all of a sudden, this man is Dean Malenko. Like, nah, bro. I don't know where you came to that conclusion, but that's not what it is.
Like,
He still puts on more than good enough matches. I mean, they're not five star classics as they're built to be. I guess I might be the backlash because the matches are all just, good. And when you build someone up that kind of way, you expect great and expectations are unreasonably high.
Yeah, and the product of people hating The Rock, I think, was the love of CM Punk and
that's
their appreciation of CM Punk holding the belt for, you know, 434 days.
Yeah, he's going to go over the biggest star, like, pro or fake sports has ever produced. Yeah, of course, that's going to happen.
Yeah, like, I agree with the booking decision in retrospect, but at the time, like, it was tough to swallow. Like, looking at Punk like that, like, it looked like such a money grab. It didn't feel genuine almost.
I will say this. There's two discussions you can take. There's two ends or thought about, or two trains of thought. You can take one of CM Punk, you would have liked to see, if anybody was going to take the end CM Punk's title reign, it'd be John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And the other train of thought is, well, he comes out and Rock wrestles 4 matches this year, or 3 matches this year, And in the span from including, if you include the match that he had with at WrestleMania 28, he has two matches with Cena, he has two matches with Punk, and by him having two matches with Punk, it basically insinuates, it elevates Punk's status as he is, it's not just a one guy thing, it's a two guy thing.
Yeah.
However you decide which makes more sense is pretty much the way you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can totally understand you saying like, why should a guy that, you know, that hasn't been in the ring or whatever wrestling get this choice? But however, we get real selective about who we think deserves what when it comes to this, comes to fake sports.
That and part time performers.
Yeah, especially like if it was Undertaker or it was Brock Lesnar.
Mind you, Jericho came back and fought for the belt at WrestleMania.
We have no qualms about that. However, when it's The Rock, for some reason, it's a problem for him to wrestle for be the number one contender for Royal Rumble. You know the match where, you know, Royal Rumble, the event where pretty much
they experiment.
Yeah, considering that everybody, the biggest thing that everybody cares about is who's going to win Royal Rumble and then fight at WrestleMania, as opposed to who's fighting the champ or is somebody going to take the belt off of Buddy to lead up to something at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Pretty much what it's always been. So I don't know. I have some, you know, ideas of what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't necessarily think those are I don't think that's what this is.
You don't think it's a factor?
No.
A factor?
No.
Okay.
For those that don't know what we're talking about, contact us on Twitter at One Nation Radio.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give that, you know, the IWC award, just the outrage behind, you know, Rock, you know, I would have liked to see him on TV more, you know. Could we get one Monday Night Raw match against somebody?
Another one to mention is apparently you said that people were upset that he beat him with the Rock Bottom. And it's
or
like,
people's elbow.
Or people's elbow. Yeah, people's elbow. Okay. He's a guy with two finishers. He hit him with one of the two finishers.
Problem?
Problem is what exactly? It's not like he beat him with an arm bar. He didn't drop. He didn't beat him with a drop kick.
Oh, a snapmare.
Yeah, he didn't beat him. He didn't roll him up with a sunset flip.
But when that stuff happens, you know, it's Bulldog versus Bret at
92. It is the best match of 1992. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You know, so what do y'all want? You know, hopefully, you know, the listeners that we have.
I thought we are concerned about just having to finish be pure, in the words of the Undertaker.
Yeah. You know, they forget that CM Punk, you know, won the match originally. But, you know, if you listen to us this long, shout out to all our listeners, our new followers, almost to 200 on Twitter. Quite an accomplishment. Hopefully 2014 will be even, you know, a bigger year with, you know, the extra attention from WhatCulture.com. And soon, you know, I'll be trying to make a push to get on Bleacher Report and expand our audience even more. You know, gotta do it. You know, if we gonna do it, we gonna do it. Do it big, like Jameis Winston. Quick, you know, national title game Monday night. You know, Florida State versus Auburn. James, shoot.
What do you mean by shoot?
Shoot, what's gonna happen?
I don't know what's gonna happen.
Uh-oh.
You ain't gonna have me come out here and talk about my team, man. You replay the tape. That's misery. Last time I shot on a whole entire crowd about a sporting event, it was right after Randy Moss scored the game or the what would have been the game winning touchdown against the Giants. And then what happens? The helmet catch. Asante Samuel drops the interception. The helmet catch, which, and also the touchdown, which leads to, you know, just not feeling well for a whole entire day. And I'm not even a Patriots fan.
Hey.
So there you go. I'm done with that.
If Florida State wins the national title, tune in to hear the greatest James Boyd monologue you'll ever want to hear. Do not miss this. But those are our awards. Get it at us at One Nation Radio on Twitter. And let us know what you think.
Before you finish that montage, imagine Daniel Bryan saying yes in front of the crowd and the yes chant. It's about that much energy. It's about that much energy in the monologue.
like y'all remember the end of the 1992 Royal Rumble with Ric Flair?
Okay, so hold on.
I think that'll be how we begin the
show. No. Actually, you know what it'd be like? It'd be like, remember the promo that Rock cut right before the match at Royal Rumble?
Oh, my God.
CM Punk.
Put your hand on the screen.
Touch my screen. Yeah, touch my hand. And talked about his mom and all the struggles they went through. It's something like that. Like, yeah, all these, the Chris Ricks era, all that struggle. But, yeah, man, let's wrap this up. Go ahead, continue with your thoughts. Or your points, I'm sorry.
This was cool. This is the year 2013 was a very good year in wrestling. Hopefully 2014 will bring some, even higher level.
No whack pay-per-views.
Yeah, none of those. Don't bring them because, we've not watched before. That can happen. The Royal Rumble coming up, WrestleMania season, so we're probably going to be cranking out our wrestling podcast a little bit at a little faster pace.
Yeah, we also got to start getting into this. We also got to get NFL playoff podcast up soon, too, and also conclusion for the season.
Yep. WrestleMania season, we have no idea what's going to happen.
Nope, not at all. Batista's in here now. Who knows? We'll probably do a preview for Royal Rumble about thoughts and like this, what we think is going to happen on the road, like the preview for the road to WrestleMania, the preview of the preview essentially.
Yeah,
so
we'll have to drop our WrestleMania cards and stuff like that,
and watch it just
burn in hell.
Yeah, just completely be wrong like a day later.
Great Khali winning the WWE title at WrestleMania. That could happen.
As the show goes dark, what would be the worst thing ever? Well, like on top of your head, that's the worst thing that can happen. The close of the show, Big Khali, and they playing that shit that sounds like
all that with
a tie on his arm and a single tear in his eye.
Oh my God.
Okay.
The realistic worst thing that could happen at WrestleMania.
It ain't got to be realistic. Well, fine. We'll do realistic.
John Cena walking away with the title again. If he doesn't turn heel.
Okay, for me, I would say the worst thing that could happen would be Daniel Bryan, WWE Champion, loses the belt to Triple H.
Oh my God. The internet would explode.
I don't personally think that's such a bad thing. Like, he could be like the Hulk Hogan. He only wrestles the big matches, the big fights.
Oh my God.
And it really all this build up. But at the same time, people will be so mad. I want to see it happen to see so many people be mad.
Oh my gosh. Like,
this is bullshit.
I'm never watching this shit again.
I'm done. He did it to me in 2000. He did it to me again. I'm done with it.
Triple H caused a lot of people to stop watching wrestling back
including
in
me.
Early 2000s.
When I found out he had won WrestleMania in 2000 against those guys, I was like, what? I'm done. I'm done for now. And then I'm done for now. Turned into years.
Yeah.
Turned to over a decade.
Thank God The Rock came back. Which gets back to our point. The Rock ain't so bad.
It took The Rock, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker for me to start watching again. The guys that were the guys, for me back then.
But I just want to say, if they don't start bringing up some of these young guys, they ain't going to have nobody to bring back in 10 years.
I got one worse.
Go ahead.
John Cena, WWE Champion, takes a pin via the atomic leg drop, and Hulk Hogan is in.
Oh my God!
World Heavyweight Champion!
That's it!
Brother!
That's it!
Hulkamania lives forever!
At 60 years old.
30 years of Hulkamania, brother. Yes, absolutely. That would be, and I would love to see it.
Oh my God.
I want to see the disaster of what they have to do to try to get the ball on him after
and
that.
And then he had to immediately vacate the title.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that would be beautiful. The Hulkamaniacs, man. The Hulkamaniacs.
Oh my god.
Look, who would actually look, how many, you know how bad the internet would be? Like, they would have to actually try to root, would they root for Hogan, or would they be like, we can't have this happen,
they had to root for Cena.
Oh my god.
They would have to root for Cena.
You think so?
Yes. They would have to root for Cena.
Okay. That's great.
Oh my god.
They make even the Smarks want to root for Cena.
James, you're giving me nightmares.
Brother.
This is the One Nation Radio Award Show. We digress a little bit at the end.
Very much.
You know, that was a little extra content for y'all.
It was worth it, though.
You know, we care about our listeners and, you know, those that hit us up. But, yeah, this is One Nation Radio. James, you got anything to add?
I'm out. None.
All right, man. See you.
Later.